building downtown. And then there's other bank man, and then the insurance companies. So we have all the bank buildings that have all this money. It's our mortgage money, so we need to stop that. And the other thing, too, I wanted to mention, and Nick kind of brought this up to me, which is a good thing. You know, I went over this finance thing about three times, this particular book on this subject. And I still feel, you know, I've read the book two times, and I've now made notes, and I'm doing this presentation, I'm teaching it. But it's still not quite, I don't think, down in my spirit. When you were taught, I think it's like 5, maybe 8% you only garner. So, you know, don't run out how you're hearing. You're excited for a month, and then after a month, I ask you how your GMI is doing, and you go, what's GMI? We don't, you know, we want to stay excited about this and keep reviewing this stuff. That's why we talked about these books at the beginning, reading about it, studying about it. And I'm sure Pastor Mitch, Matt, Pastor David, and myself are all going to continue to talk about this stuff. We don't want you to forget about it. Amen? Amen. So we're going to now move on. Was there any more questions about this house thing or the car thing, about buying and selling the car or on the house? If there is, I can answer any more questions. Yes, Pastor.
Yeah, it's just, you showed those illustrations there. I mean, how do you find that place that's going to give you that in your loan for 3 points of interest?
Well, what Sherry and I did, you know, we was at our particular bank. They had sold our loan off I don't know how many times. We was at Bank One at the bank. At that time, the Chase building was Bank One, and then Chase sold or bought Bank One, but they sold our loan off, I don't know, 3 or 4 times. And Bank of America, I think, bought it, and then Wells Fargo bought it. And I don't know how many. I think, who's got my loan? I don't like this. But what I did, and this is the thing, and you got to pray for favor, and this is where the faith thing comes in. If your bank won't service you, find another bank that will. Ask the Lord. Go, Lord, you know, I want favor on this deal. I need a loan that fits what I want to do. I want to promote. You know that the interest I have, an interest in my heart, you can find probably a bank that will service you. Like I said, that website, Bankrate, I think it's called, they have list all the banks, the national rates for 30, 15, and you could probably get a 10-year. See, mine, you don't see 10-year loans listed, but you can say, hey, look, I want to do business with you. Would you give me a 10-year loan? And see, when I told them, I said they could do it, the lady said, no, we can't. I go, yes, you can. You have to be insistent sometimes. Because with the favor of the Lord, that comes into play with the faith thing. See, that's why I'm saying you got to put faith with this stuff. And you got to be insistent sometimes. Like Sherry was very insistent at Menards when we had nearly $1,000 worth of flooring, and she was not going to take no for an answer, and we was going to return it, even though we were months down the road. She had canceled the card, and they gave us credit back on a canceled card. Now, was that a miracle or not? She would not take no for an answer, and I was sitting there kind of backing away going, this is embarrassing, and I'm like, oh my God, you know, and I was starting to waver. I was starting to waver. But Sherry was not wavering. And that's what faith does for you. You will not waver in the face of adversity. You will stand firm your ground and you will not waver. So when you're in these business deals, whether it's your house, whether it's your car, whether you're dealing with a business deal, you have the advantage because you are on faith, you're on solid ground, and don't step off of it. It's important you stay on it. So, there's banks out there that will service you. You just find, yes, Matt.
Credit score is also pretty important too, isn't it?
Your credit score is important, but you know.
You can use that as leverage.
Yeah, but I just called them up after I did the calculations and said, here's what I want, and they did right with me. So, yes, Matt.
Kind of also stress that question. One of the things that we have found is that some of the smaller banks,
yeah,
or maybe a local bank,
Yeah.
When you deal with them, they're more apt to keep you and make a deal with you.
That's right.
Than some of the larger guys. So we've had good success with Lincoln Federal when we've owned more than one house and playing with other people versus somebody that's taking care of them.
That's true. Yes, Sherry. I don't know. They've sold it so many times, I can't remember. You know, I can't keep track of it. It just went through a whole bunch of different things. But yeah, smaller banks would definitely be want to service that. I know with M&I, they was I had a CD there, and the lady, I mean, I was making I think over 5% or something. I had to park some money, and she just, and you know, you're making 1%. I said, I need to renew this CD. She gave it to me again for 5%. You know, that's a favor. Because I wanted to park the money there. I wanted to make something on it, just parking my money till I had time to reinvest it into something else. So, and it's a smaller bank. And I talked to, she was the vice president of the bank. And, I'm talking to her, sitting down with her and like that. And we're sitting at our desk. And I said, I want to park this money here. And would you renew that CD for the same term? She said, yeah, sure. So.
You know, you can go to these larger banks, they will not deal in international cities. They don't deal very well. But some of the smaller credit unions, we have found that the smaller credit unions work really well.
Yeah.
On things, even when we buy a house, we absolutely pay nothing for an application fee of $150.
Yeah.
So the interest rates now are set for 15 years. I think they're around 4%.
Yeah.
For 15 years, you can negotiate even better deals than that.
Yeah, the shorter the term, even on the ARMs, I was looking at adjustable rate mortgage, which I don't recommend doing, but even on the ARMs, a 7-year ARM was looking at 2.5%. So as you crunch the loan, as you compress the loan in length of it, the interest rates get less and less. So you can, you know, as you're compressing, the big thing about this is as you start paying more on the principal and less on interest. See, and that's an advantage. You don't want to give these people money to build those big towers they're building. You know, they don't do me any good, right? So praise the Lord. So we're going to talk about. We're still talking about, we got done pretty much with managing our resources, and managing must come before increasing. Because if you can't manage something, how are you going to take care of increasing, right? And the goal here with increasing is to invest for future returns. And it says this in Isaiah 48:17, thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit. I like that. Who teaches you to profit. Who leads you in the way you should go. And really, profit doesn't come naturally, really, in the fallen human condition. A lot of times you just want to go out and spend whatever, right? You have a credit card, you want to ring up that thing as far as it will go. A lot of times credit cards now, you can get credit cards, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 limits on credit cards. But this is important at the very last part of this. Generous giving will not overcome gross mismanagement or poor work habits. These three all have to work hand in hand. And I think there's a misconception out in the church that I can give and give and give and it'll get me out of this hole. Uh-uh. It won't. I mean, God will work in a certain amount, but there's a certain amount of responsibility a believer has. And you have to take responsibility, right? So we need to be responsible. Let's see. And I want to talk about, I think Matt was talking about the story of the talents, right? And it was really talents. You know, people get this mixed up. It's money. People try to define it as other things. Uh-uh. It is money. And, you know, these people doubled their master's money. And the three alternatives, one, you know, they either buried it, and the master said you could put it in bank to earn interest, or you could buy and sell. Let's go over there to that. Matthew 25, and I might read just a small portion of that. 25:14. Let's start in 15, okay? Let's see. Okay, it says here, and here's what the master, here's what he's doing. He said, to one he gave 5 talents, probably about $5,000. I'm reading now the Amplified. To another 2, to another 1. And get this, it says this, to each in proportion to his own personal ability. Then he departed and left the country. So, God's going to give you according to your ability. He's not going to hand over. You're not going to turn your keys over to a child. A $30,000 car. Hey, here's the keys to my car, right? It just doesn't work that way. Yes, Mitchell.
One of the things I want to mention there, and I've talked about this before in the church about that, when he gave them those talents according to their, the King James says, several ability. That word ability is translated dunamis.
Mm-hmm.
It is according to the power that is in those people.
Right.
So, that is a supernatural miracle working power. I believe he gave those talents according to the revelation that they had of that power that was working in them.
Exactly.
You see, it's the same power that when you lay hands on the sick, they recover.
Right.
So that is that word ability is power, is the supernatural power that he gives according, I believe, to the revelation that they have of that power working on them.
Right.
And it takes faith, your faith to activate that.
Right. It sure does. And, you know, one of the things, let's see, let me look up here. This is not on the slide, but Mark chapter 4, verse 24. And it talks about this, and I think if you want to grow in God's ability, this is a key scripture, Mark 4, 24. And he said to them, be careful what you're hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear. That's in Mark 4:24. So if you want more ability, spend time in God's Word. Spend time with God. You're not going to get ability watching TV. Right? Right? I don't hear any amens. You just don't get that ability. And a lot of people want to get things easy. I want to enter a contest and win, and God's going to lavish me with all this money. Hey, praise the Lord if He does that. Right? But it takes diligence to sit down with God and spend time with Him and just seek Him out. He's got all the answers that you for everything. I mean, he has owns all the... Remember, we read that scripture. He has all the gold and silver. He owns all this stuff. So, if he's the owner and you want to tap into that, doesn't it make sense to go to that and say, how can I tap into this resource? He's the one you want to tap into. And say, I want to spend time with you. I want to learn some things. I want you to show me some things. Right?
That's right.
Watching TV just doesn't hack it. I know we got satellite, and it's nice. But there's only, you know, it's just, I don't know what it is. I guess you call it entertainment. Facebooking is nice too. But... And I'm not against, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to be religious here. But there comes a time when you got to pull yourself away from those things and say, look, I think I'm going to read my Bible and I'm going to spend some time with God and learn about these things. I'm not going to put all the onus on Pastor Mitch or whoever up here to try to teach me all this stuff. Right? You have to take a little bit of responsibility yourself and get with the Lord, the Holy Ghost, who's a teacher, and let Him teach you. Because the revelation you get is so important, because you will act on that revelation you get from God. Not that the revelation doesn't come from Pastor Mitch, it does. But you have to act on that revelation. When God speaks to you and He drops something in your spirit, I mean, it is real to you. And you, God, then will act on it, because you got it from the source. And again, I'm not saying you can get revelation from this church and Pastor Mitch, but you, one of the other ways is you got to do your part, and you got to sit down and study, and you got to sit down and pray and spend time with God. Amen? So, I wanted to make that point about that. And God's not just doling out stuff. This is not the lottery or this thing where, what is it, that sweepstakes that they used to have where they just give out money and that, oh yeah, you won all this. No, it's not that. And Luke 19, verse 12 through 26 is on the same thing. It's talking about the same thing, about the mina there, or mina, however you say that. And it says, it's not likely that the master will place a large amount in our hands if we have no idea how to multiply his resources. And again, if you was a business owner or anybody, would you give someone money that was irresponsible? No one would do that, would give money to an irresponsible person. I wouldn't, you know. But we have to be sure. It says here in Proverbs 17, 16, of what use is money in the hand of a fool since he has no desire to get wisdom? There's a saying, a fool and his money soon are parted. That's not in the Bible. It's just a sold saying. But some people think it's in the Bible, but that's not. It's just a saying. But there's a lot of truth in that old saying. Don't be foolish with God's resources. You're a manager. We're all managers. And we need to manage His resources. Amen? How to identify buried treasure. You know, a lot of us, I don't know, I know over the years as you're married and as you collect things, there's a lot of stuff we don't use. It's amazing how much stuff we buy and don't use it. It's just astronomical. You know, I go to these garage sales and these people haul out all this stuff. I mean, it's all in their driveway. I'm looking at all this stuff and I'm like going, what is all this? And they bought dishes, they bought this and that and this, and they don't use it. And they're selling it for pennies on the dollar now. It's just wild. Wild. But you know, what you can do with some of these resources, you look up in your attic, look into your house, look at the things and liquidate it. One of the things, liquidate it and give it to the Lord for a financial deliverance. Or give an offering and pay down some debt. Or park the money, and make some interest on it. You know, I read a secular book called Mind of the Millionaire, which was an interesting book. It was written by this professor, and he also wrote The Millionaire Next Door. But I read the book, Millionaire Mind or something like that, and it was interesting. These people, their thoughts are somewhat different than the average person, the way they think. And there's not much really separation between them and us, or them and the average person. But their thought life is different, how they think about things. I was reading where when they even buy furniture, they look at it as an investment. And they bought furniture so that when they go to sell it, they get their assets back. There's certain types of furniture you can buy that will stay appreciated, or actually stay the same, or appreciate in value, and they keep that furniture. Even though it gets worn, they reupholster it and keep it in their house. Which is interesting. And these people, the way they think, again, it's not too different, but they do certain things. And like talking about unity, the guy that has these ideas about becoming, he marries a wife that also is of the same mindset. He just doesn't willy-nilly go out there and pick someone. He's looking for a wife that's going to back up his mindset of being a millionaire. Because he wants someone in unity. It was an interesting book. And this guy, of course, he's probably a millionaire that wrote the book, that did a study, I'm thinking. But it's interesting to look into these people's minds and see how they think. But anyway, he gives an example. David Melanoy gives an example of a missionary that's ending is working the missionary work, and he's getting ready for retirement. And this guy had basically nothing to retire on because they didn't support this missionary, which is unfortunate. So, but he knew something about, I guess, these Hummels. I guess that's what they are. And I think he had $1,800 worth of Hummels, and he started buying and selling these things. And he would put an ad in the paper, and he'd buy them undervalued, and then he'd resell them. But through that process, this missionary wound up with $250,000 for his retirement fund. Not bad. From $1,800 to $250,000. Buying and selling, which is a biblical principle. And you know, the Lord's been dealing with me too about my retirement. You know, I'm making... Now this is something that you have to be led by the Holy Spirit, okay? I'm not saying this is for everybody. But in my spirit, I'm just feeling that the Lord has been... You know, I've been putting money into my retirement because in 3.5 years, I can retire. I'll be have my points and everything, and I'll be dancing. You'll see me dancing out there. Yeah. I'm out of there. Yee! So, but one of my accounts, you know, I'm funding money into my retirement because it's getting close. And but the Lord's been dealing with me about that. And the Holy Spirit, and I'll just share with you what the Lord's dealing with me about. And it's like, the world system is broke, okay? I'm only making 3 or 4% on these things I've invested in my retirement. And I'm thinking, this is not enough. So, what the Lord's leading me to do is instead of funding my retirement, is to take that money and invest it in other things that He directs me to invest in. So I will have more. And not only that, it teaches me how to walk by faith and do some things. It would be nice when I retire, and this is the goal, is to take that retirement money and fund missionary projects or projects that God puts on my heart and use it for nothing but that. That's the objective. It's not for me, but for projects, and I would have other supply coming in because now I've worked all of this and God has blessed me, and because my heart is like, I could take that retirement money that I would normally use for myself, but give it to projects that He puts upon my heart. See? What's 3 or 4%? I heard a lady at work, she said, we was talking, she said, how many years you got in? I got, I said, 27. She goes, oh, I do too. And she said, oh, she goes, what are you going to do when you do? She goes, are you going to leave at 30? I go, yeah, I'm going to really try. I said, I'll be eligible. And she goes, well, but the benefits are so good, and what would you do? And I'm thinking, lady, there's more than government work. I mean, you've got to be kidding me, you know? Life is not just about working for the state of Indiana. There's more to it than that. What happens, people get so narrow and they're going, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do because I'm looking through such narrow focus, almost. It's just myopia, where you can't, it's just tunnel vision. And she's just looking that way, and I'm thinking, man, you need to get your vision expanded on this stuff. But we need to, and like, I think it was, our job is really just for seed. It really is. It's not really for much more. It's to get you seed for other things to invest in. Invest in the kingdom. Sure, that provides seed for that. But it's also the 90%. You should be able to not only take care of your needs, but also find some places to park that money and make investments. Right? So, it is not all... And you know... Assets, too. You can find assets. Even, you know, I like guns, and some of those things either stay the same or they appreciate. You know, I mean, it can be that. It can be anything. you know, become an expert at some particular thing that you like to do and find out if it has an appreciable value. You know, people collect all kinds of stuff. But find out something that will make you money. Okay. We see here what Solomon did. And he did buying and selling. You know, he had horses, he had chariots. You know, all this stuff was coming to Solomon. I like him. He was a good businessman. I enjoy reading about King Solomon. You know. But a lot of times in making money, you have to start out where you're at, and sometimes it's just starting out in small places, you know. And like I said, and one of these days, you know, I go to garage sales, but one of these days I won't be doing that. I'll be dealing. But God it's a training ground. That's all it is. If I can buy a juicer for $10 and sell it for $150. I can do that with other things. I just need to put it in a larger scale, you know. I bought bikes. I sold that recently. Well, it was last. When would I sell that bike? It was last year. I bought a Trek for $20 and sold it for $230. A Trek mountain bike. Guys at work was only wanting to give me $40 for it. I go, heck, I'm not going to sell it for $40. It would double my money, but I knew the bike was valued at close to. I think it was $600 to $800. So I paid, well, actually, I didn't even pay $20 for it. I gave the lady, I said, I didn't have $20. I said, I'll give you what's in my wallet, which is $18 or something like that. And then I found money in the they had a bunch of change in there in the case. So I actually got it for less than $18 because they had coins or something in there. They had several dollars in coins, so actually I paid less than $18. And I made $230. You know, they didn't look in their change purse that was with the bike. So, but it's training ground. And like Pastor Mitch said, you go early. When we paid our house off, or we was getting ready to, I knew that the day was coming when we was getting ready to pay our house off. We had all of these issues with the remodeling. I mean, our washer and dryer quit. We had the garbage disposal quit. A light switch went out. The garage door went out. And there was something else. The car, I think, broke down. Five things. Just boom, 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 boom. I thought, man, pushing through this envelope here is kind of rough. We was about ready to get the house paid off, and we just had all of these things. We was getting attacked by the devil. But, you know, on the washer and dryer, I said, and Sherry and I, we prayed about it, and I said, I don't want to spend no $600 for a new washer and dryer. I said, we're going to find one. So we prayed about it, and just the lady down the road, got on Craigslist, lady down the road, she only owned that washer and dryer 6-7 years, a higher capacity. We paid $150 for it. I sold washer and dryer, and I sold them the washer, which still worked, for $30. So I only paid $130 for the set. You know, it's a deal. We fixed the garage door. It was something minor with that. The hot water heater went out too. I forgot about that. And I managed. I had enough. Prayed about it. Got a thermocouple. Put it in. I already had that, so that didn't cost me anything. I put in a new garbage disposal. And we got all these other things taken care of for less than $200. All of those things. But it was an attack of the devil, because he knew we were getting close at a new level that we was going to reach, and he was putting all the pressure to make us worried and have anxiety. And it was just, Sherry, I was out there doing the work, and the washer had flooded. I just floored all that, and the washer came up and put water all over the utility room and into the entranceway, and I just put down all that new flooring. I was going, oh my gosh. And just one thing was breaking one right after another. The van broke down or something. But we came through all that. We came through all that. And when you're getting ready to reach a goal, sometimes the devil's going to put a lot of pressure on you to waver,